Hi, everybody. Good evening. Here from Los Angeles, from Vital Transformation, which is Los Angeles. Usually, I give my lecture from different location. During the COVID, we gave most of the lecture from 1471 South Crest. You know, my dream is always to give the lecture from different location. And hopefully, soon we're going to give the location from other area so it can touch more people, more human being. Anyway, we know that the name of the portion is Va'etchanan. Now, the word Va'etchanan stems from the word begging. Basically, the portion is talking about Moses begging the Creator to get into Israel, even he know that the Creator say absolutely not because of the hitting of the rock or other reason. And Moses is keep begging for something he knew he's not going to get. So what's the purpose of begging? Now, just to make the story and the subject even more powerful, he begged for 515 times. Keminyan va'etchanan, the same amount of the morality value of the Hebrew letters of the word va'etchanan. Now you tell me, would you beg for 515 times just to get something that you know in the end you're not going to get? You know you're not going to get it. This is just an unbelievable concept. And before I'm going to the commentary of that, I think it's very important for us to start to understand what does that mean to be on a spiritual journey? Because a lot of people don't get benefit from the spiritual journey, and they kind of giving up, not because it's not going to happen, because they try for 25 times and it's enough. Yesterday was a day of mourning for the Jewish people over the many reasons. It's called the day that the two temples have been destroyed. So we're fasting. So I went to the local synagogue and pray, and I saw a friend of mine that I didn't see for a long time. He came from Israel. And we have a nice little discussion. And I asked him a question. I didn't expect him to answer me. It was not a question, just was a comment by me. And for somehow, he react very fast and very truth. The truth came out of his soul. And I said to him, you know, there is many people who used to work with me and be with me, and they didn't continue on the spiritual journey. And those of you who know me more than 5 years know what I used to do for the last 30 years. And in my last job, I know many people who were with me on my spiritual journey, not as my student. They were mentor and as teacher themselves. Great teacher, great humans, great souls. And somehow, they didn't continue into spirituality. They just broke away from everything. For whatever reason. I mean, they can tell you all kinds of reason. So I asked him, I said, can you imagine that happened? And he looked at me and say, the gentleman's name is Shimon, so we should pray for him. It's his birthday today. And he looked at me and said to me, Eliyahu, you need to know those people who were around you, they were maybe teacher like you, but they didn't worship God. They didn't worship the Torah. They didn't worship spirituality. They worship a teacher. It was your teacher, their teacher. They look at the teacher as God, as the Torah, as the way. Once that teacher die, or that teacher disappear, or that teacher collapse, they no longer could continue on a journey of spirituality. I look at them and I say, well, I did. What's the difference? I'm not better than them. I mean, many years ago, I would look up to them. They were way better than me then. And they didn't continue. And it bothered me a lot. I reached out to each and every one of them. He said, Eliyahu, the point is that you had a different foundation. The way you grew up, the way you study was very different. When you come to Shabbat, you don't look who is the teacher of Shabbat. You look at the Shabbat. When you come to study Torah, you look at the book. You don't look who's teaching it. I never thought about me that way, the way he put it together. And he doesn't know me that well in the last 5 years. And I said, thank you for the compliment first, if it is a compliment. And thank you for the clarity. Because I'm walking really upset and angry in the last 5 years. Why so many people get off the path of spirituality when there is a chance for them to have a better life. But when you worship idol, include human being, eventually you're going to be disappointed. But when you worship the creator, God, when I say God, again, I want to make sure it's clear, God is something that you don't know what it is. Once you know what it is, you no longer worship God. You worship something else. You don't need to know what it is. All what you need to know, there is a force. So going back to Moses, why Moses is so humble, is asking that force that can give everything for something he knows he's not going to get. So the amount of rejection is exactly 515 times, with knowing the fact that you will get nothing in the end. I find that tremendous awakening for each and every one of us to start working on ourselves, not to give up. Because maybe for you, what you're asking for, you only need 346 times. For other people, it will be maybe 334. Every person will be a different thing. You know, every person will be a certain amount of time. For some people, it's 2 times. But you keep begging the Creator for the thing that's not working in your life. And this is the week to do it. You can't give up this week. You have to fight for whatever you want. You got to do it this week. For that reason, you have the Ten Commandments in this week. We already read the Ten Commandments in Jethro, in Shemot, in the book of Exodus. Why you have to read it again? Why Moses mentioned it again? It's to help us to understand that the same thing happened there before the sin of the golden calf can be changed and being removed from your life. All the negativity. If all what you're going to do is beg. Not beg because you deserve it. Because we definitely don't deserve it. Because if you deserve it, the Creator will love you so much, will give it to you. Not beg because you might get it. Because most probably you will not. Beg because you are awakening your humbleness just to be a beggar for the Creator. Whatever it is, soulmate, money, health, whatever it is that you want to beg for, keep begging. And the word it say, va et hanan. He used the word va et hanan, begging. From the word is hanun verachum. Hanun also comes from the word chen. And Rabbi Nachman Breslev talk about the word chen in the beginning of his book, Likotei Moharan. He's talking about the word chen, וגם אני מצאתי חן בעיניך, בעיניי, וגם אתה מצאת חן בעיניי. He's talking about Moses, and he's talking about Noach מצא חן בעיני השם. The word חן mean beauty, to be like. It's written in Rabbi Nachman Breslev, that sometimes even if you don't deserve to get something that you meant to get, just because of the חן, the beauty of your energy, the Creator will grant you with whatever you need or want to have. How do we get to that chen? How do you get it? I would like to get that chen, because through that chen, you're getting things you didn't earn yet, and it will be yours with pleasure. If this year you meant to make $1.7 billion, you meant to do it, but you don't have chen, you're not going to do it. If this year you're definitely not meant to make $1.7 billion. If you have chen, you're definitely going to make it. Not because you did something special. Not because you even you're spiritual. Ki matzata chen be'aynai. Because God like you. He like you. There is a boss. Don't forget, there is a boss. When somebody call you a boss, get scared. Because you've been judged. Boss is the Creator. So, we need to understand how to do that. We need to understand how to become like Moses, and get into a place that we truly awakening this begging without expectation. So I'm going to go now as an introduction. It's going to be a lot of books tonight that I'm using. So I'm going to jump from books to books, and hopefully I will do a job that the Creator will be happy with me to serve the people of God. Because every person who listens to a lecture, you are the people of God. Don't ever forget that. So it's like that. Sha'amar va'etchanan. I'm reading from page Kuf Einchet, 178 from Zera Kodesh. Sha'amar va'etchanan. Va'etchanan hu leshon mafil shepolotot zeh shidbar kevod nitpael shiyeh chanun. When Moses begged, it was awakening to wake up the chanun. Chanun means merciful. And that's why he used that word. Shepatach bekorach chinun. He opened the gate of mercy for all of us. Al yedei shebikesh matnat chinam. Why? How do you open that gate of mercy? By asking something that you know you don't deserve. If you capable, when you pray, when you meditate, to believe that you don't deserve what you're asking for, then automatically the Creator opens the gate and makes sure that all the mercy that you need to have will happen to you. So of course you can raise the doubts and question. Moses didn't get what he wanted. So how come we should ask that? You know? And why Moses have to ask for that? Moses couldn't ask for another 10 years of living. Why he asked for something that for sure the answer was not? And the idea, it's very powerful. I mean, if you think about it, very powerful question. Why would you ask for something you don't get? And after you humble yourself, and you still don't get it. And I didn't find an answer for that today. But I will share with you my poor opinion. The reason I said my poor opinion is because if I said that's my opinion, might be the ego talking. I mean, my ego talking anyway, but I'm trying to diminish a little bit the ego. When you were kids and you're asking your parents for something that you know you don't deserve, I don't know if you ever did that. And when your parents tell you no, you ask again, you ask again, you ask again. And then at the end, you say, okay, I cannot get this. Can I get something else? All of a sudden, you negotiate for the other thing, even you know you don't deserve neither the one or the first or the second. So when Moses was asking for himself to go to Eretz Israel, to go to Israel, and God say no, then he could definitely ask two things. He asked that after he died, he will be in Israel all the time, with spirit. And second, he got the idea that the Creator will be with the Israelite wherever they're going to be in the exile. With all the anti-Semitism, with all the hatred, with all the bloodshed, with all the killing that those people went through, still you see a miracle of the Creator wherever they go. So that's from Zera Kodesh. Now, the point that I want to make now is still, how do we get to Va'etchanan to open that gate? So we explain, make yourself humble. You have to feel you don't deserve. And that's taking you to another level. But how do you even start to feel it, to get into it? How do you, what is need to be done? So I'm going to the Rambam, the Maimonides. I don't know if you know who was the Maimonides, the Rambam, Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon. The Rambam was a doctor. He was a doctor. And he was a rabbi. Very famous from Spain. Went to Morocco. Studied with all type of people. His knowledge is beyond. is buried in the city of Tveria. Whoever never been in his gravesite miss a lot of opportunity. Because Rambam wrote so many books about philosophy, and it's all in English, about understanding the Creator in a better way. And he write, you know, for a spiritual person, what is that we need to do as the beginning? The Ketzad. Ehava Reuya. How do you love the Creator? I mean, it's a difficult task. How do you love the Creator? Right? This parasha talk about loving the Creator. Ten Commandments, Etchanan, Moses' relationship to God. How do we get to be Moses? How do we get to that? We're not, I mean, just to remind you, the idol worshiping of putting people, a star, not exist in the Torah, not exist in Judaism. There is no, it's forbidden, actually. It's forbidden for putting a person on top. So what about a rabbi or a teacher? Yes, you don't expect a teacher to be God or perfect. Teacher has mistake. I'm teaching you now. Am I doing mistake now? Maybe. So those of you who want to look for a perfect rabbi, perfect teacher, looking for idols. You're not looking for teaching. You're not looking for a teacher. There's only one thing which is perfect in this universe. The Creator. You want to know what's perfect? Only the Creator. But when you start looking for human being to be perfect, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's a shame. At that moment that you find the perfect person, how is God look at your eyes? You don't even know about God. That's the biggest problem. You want to make that human as God. In Judaism, according to the law of Judaism, that's forbidden. You're not allowed to make human as God. And look what happened to those people I talked to you about before. They follow human. They didn't follow the Torah. They didn't follow spirituality. They didn't follow the Creator. They didn't follow the study. Then, of course, they will fall, as my friend Shimon in the synagogue told me. Beautiful answer what he gave me yesterday. So he said like that. Okay, how do I get to love God? How do I get to love God? What do I need to do? He said like that. שיואב את השם אהבה גדולה יתרה עזה מאוד, עד שתהיה נפשו קשורה באהבת השם. Person have to practice the love toward the Creator. Now, it's a problem. You know, when I went to the... what do you call that place in the Vatican? The Sistine Chapel, they call it. As Israeli all my life, I thought they call it the Sistine Chapel. I didn't know it's the Sistine Chapel. I said, okay, I didn't know until I got there. Is it 16 or is it 16? So we get a guide, because we didn't have time. Debbie organized for us. It was only for morning to night, and then we flew back to Israel. So it was very quickly. And we went. And the guide who guide us, you know, saw that I'm a little Israeli with my accent. I have yarmulke under my head. And he say, you know, you Jewish people have no decoration in your synagogue. Most of your synagogue is plain. You have only people praying. And the wall is empty. Here, you have all type of art and picture, which is gorgeous and beautiful. And the truth, when he said, I was jealous. I was jealous because when you go to synagogue, those of you who have been, it's chair, table, people study and pray. So he saw in my eyes that I was a little bit sad, that I cannot offer anything. And so it was very kind of him to look at my eyes and say, you know, I'm sorry that I say that, but I would like to say another thing. I said, wow, somebody from the Vatican apologized to me. Okay, I take it. He say, you need to know, sometimes when there is so many pictures on the wall, people are not focused what's in the heart. So they pray for the picture. So they pray for an image. You guys, when you pray, you close your eyes and you pray for something non-physical. And I love his answer. I would never come up with something like this. It touched me. And of course, we tears came out. I said, wow, I would never think about it like this. So to love the Creator, to love the Creator, you have to practice until your soul is connected to the Creator. But it says, Shogeba Tamid. Kiilu chole choli ahava. You have to feel like sick from love. Or I think it's called in English, love sick. Love sick. Sick. You know, you got to get sick about the love. If you just love, it's not love. You have to be sick, addicted. Addicted toward the Creator. One addiction is allowed in this universe. Addiction toward the Creator. And that's what the Baal Shem Tov write. Whoever have been addicted to something are the only one that if they change, can be truly loving God the right way. People who've never been addicted to anything cannot love the Creator in the right way. Because when you're addicted to something, you can compare that to be addicted to the Creator. שאין דעתו פנויה מאהבת אותה אישה, והוא שוגע בה תמיד, בין בשבטו במקומו, בין בשעה שהוא אוכל ושוטה. It's almost like a man who loves a woman in an addictive way, like lust and love and everything. And while he's eating and while he's drinking, does he think about the drink? No. Food? No. He think about that woman. Why? Because he can. It's one thing in my mind. Nothing else. I cannot think about nothing else. The same thing need to be about the Creator. When I walk, when I talk, when I eat, when I sleep, all the time. That's a true love. יתר בזה תהיה אהבת השם בלב אוהביו, שוגעים בה תמיד, כמו שדבר בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך. And because in this weak portion, in the end of the portion, they bring the Shema. And they say, ואהבת את השם אלוקיך בכל לבבך ובכל נפשך ובכל מאודיך. They say, you should love the Creator with all your heart. What does that mean? That's what the Rambam relate to. You should find always power in you to love more than you love yesterday, the Creator. והוא ששלמה אמר דרך משל, כחולת אהבה אני, כל שיר השירים משל הוא לעניין זה. Those of you read the book songs, by King Shlomo, Melech Shlomo, King Solomon, know that in that song, he's talking about love story. But the love story is a love story between us and our mother and father, Shekhinah and God. So for that reason, said the Rambam, אמרו חכמים הראשונים, they say, שם התובר הרי אני לומד תורה בשביל שיהיה עשיר. Some people say, let me study Torah or study spirituality so I can have money. בשביל אור, some other people say, I can study a lot of Torah and then people will call me a rabbi or a teacher. Or I will study Torah so I can get rewarded in the next world to come. תלמוד לומר לאהבה את השם. כל מה שאתם עושים לא תעשו אלא באהבה. Whatever you do, you study Torah, you being spiritual, you do everything for the sake of loving the Creator. For the sake of loving the Creator. מאוד אמרו חכמים, מצוותיו חפץ מאוד, לא בשכר מצוותיו. And that's what the sages say. All the time that you are doing what you're doing with spirituality, you want to connect to the Creator. Very important to understand. And for that reason, say the Rambam, whoever study Torah so he can get rewarded, unfortunately bring problem to their life. And whoever study for the sake, that through the study, I can get more and more connected to the Creator, those people get anything they want. So can you start study for the wrong reason and then do it for the right reason, as the Rambam? It say, as a start, it's okay. But you have to give yourself what's the time of the start. The Talmud said, some people need 3 years to make it, fake it, till you make it. Some need 5. But the bottom line, you got to get to places where you're doing it eventually for the right reason. Now, what do you need to do to get it for the right reason? Might not be able to teach the whole thing I want. So what do it for the right reason? So for that reason, we have to go back to Rabbi Chaim Vital in the name of Rabbi Isaac Luria, Ari HaKadosh, and understand what does that mean to study? What does it actually mean to study? So it's like that, Mitzvah Talmud Torah. How do we do it? Rabbi Chaim Vital, in the name of Rabbi Isaac Luria, start like that, because he wrote everything. Rabbi Chaim Vital wrote it. B'tchila ktov b'inyan shichacha. He said, first, I would like to start with the idea of forgetfulness. We know that people who study Torah forget. People who study spirituality forget. Because spirituality, the way it is outside, unfortunately, it's about love, I love you, I miss you. It's a lot of slogan. It's a lot of title. It's a lot of nice words. But there is no commitment to spirituality as it relates to God. So you say nice words to another person, the other person say nice words back to you, you're happy. That's spirituality. It's nice. It's one level, but it's not the all level. The creator has to be included to every step of your spirituality. And for that reason, when you study spirituality according to the Kabbalah, according to the Zohar, according to the Halakha, meaning the Jewish law, it's all different animal because you have to include human and God. But you're standing in front of the creator, in front of God. You're not standing in front of human. Human not going to define you if you're spiritual or not. You're going to define your ability and success based on how much you connect to the creator and how much you love the creator. It's a, when somebody starts to forget what he studied from the Torah, let's say I'm giving a lecture tonight and you study it a few times. Let's say 101 times. And you forgot this, there is a problem. Why? Ki notenet atzlut v'tardema. When the person starts to forget what he studied, he becomes lazy and becomes sleepy. Tell us the Ari HaKadosh or Rabbi Chaim Vital. And then he doesn't continue to study. And he said, hey, listen, why should I study if I'm going to forget everything? So maybe, said Rabbi Chaim Vital, you want to go that way? Let me explain to you why you forget. Do you want to know why you forget? Okay, here we go. Why people forget? In the beginning of a person, when a person starts to be reincarnated, they give him something called nefesh. We know that the soul is built from three levels, nefesh, ruach, and neshama. Nefesh is the lower level. Let's say when people come to see me for Kabbalistic healing, I take care of either the body or the spiritual body or the soul of the body. There are three levels of healing, of course. Not for everybody. Depends on the person. If they do it ongoing, like many times, of course I can do for them the all three level. But most of the time, the person just visits me, it's just body. But if a person wants more, of course, I give them more. The nefesh is the aspect of the lowest part of the soul. It's basically your bloodstream mixed with your spirit, with your soul. So it's like this. When you get the nefesh, that nefesh is nukva. It's called a female aspect. As the ruach, the spirit, the ruach is duchra. It's a male. So the whole idea that come from forgetfulness come from the nefesh. So when a person study and is in the first level of the nefesh, that person will forget everything. Whatever he study, he will forget. They will not be able to remember. And it's good for that person to keep studying, to keep conquer the Torah and study more and more and more, because the purpose of that time of the study is not to memorize. It's not to become more intellectually knowledgeable. It's not about the joy that you have by study. It's about correcting your nefesh. And correcting the nefesh means that while you study, you will remember everything. And a minute after you go to the kitchen, you will forget everything you study. Some people 5 days, some people 3 days, some people 1 day, some people 1 hour, they forget everything. Even if the person study and he forget everything, don't look at it like you wasted your time. Because you correct one aspect of the nefesh, says Rabbi Chaim Vital. Because when the person dies and he goes to the upper world, in what we call Olam Haba, in the school of heaven, the Bet Midrash of heaven, and that place, they will remind him everything that he tried to study and he did study and he forgot. They will bring it back to him or her. So if in this lifetime he's forgetting everything or they forgetting everything that they study, that means they are still fixing the nefesh. And that's not considered that you waste your time. Because it's not wasting your time, because when you study, You have to remove a certain layers of negativity that are attached to the nefesh. Mechuyavu letaken bereshona the nefesh. You have to correct the nefesh first, because remember, nefesh is the lower, then the ruach, then neshama. Once you fix the nefesh, achar kach yitnu lo haruach, achar kach yitnu lo haruach. So if they give you ruach, things open up. Now, another aspect of it, I'm not going to go to the old details, it's a little bit profound. The shichacha come from something called achoraim. I'm not going to go to details, really going to confuse you. And I know some of you say, hey, come, tell us, ekeye, yud kebav, ke meruba, yudin. No, we're not going to do that. But the idea has come from achoraim. Achoraim mean back. There is the front of spirituality and the back of spirituality. Like the face of your body, the front, and the back. When you see somebody from the back, many times happen to you, you confuse them to be somebody else. I don't know how many times it happened to you. When you saw somebody on the street, somebody you know, when you touch on the top of your shoulders, they turn to somebody else. What happened? Because from the back, you can recognize if that's the face. So the face, basically, is the memory, and the back is the forgetfulness. In the back is where the negative force attached to us. I'm sorry to say it, but ask yourself, how do you go to the bathroom? Go from the back. So from the back, that's all the klipot, all the negative forces coming from the back. For that reason, the forgetfulness comes from the back. So every time that you forgot, you are actually connected to the negativity that tried to pull away from you your memory. Now, another secret about forgetfulness. There is a minister of forgetfulness. That's his job. An angel, minister, whatever you want to call it. His name is Sam. Mem Samech. Samech Mem. That's his name. Samech Mem. That's his name. Sam. He is the angel that's in charge of you being forget. It's not Uncle Sam, so don't judge America, please. All of you hate America, don't do that. Best country in the world. Share with everybody. We should really have gratitude for America. I mean, there is no place like this. So, Sam, or Mas, let's change his name to Mas, okay? We're going to call him Mas, so we change the letter. Okay, instead of S-A-M, we call it M-A-S, so it's Mas. That's how Rabbi Chaim Vital actually called it here. Mas, not Sam, Mas. That name, that klipa, he said this is a klipa. It's a negative, negative, negative energy. A memunet al shichecha. That name, and he called it Mem Samech, Mas, in charge of human to forget spirituality. And it's written in Chagiga, in the Talmud in Chagiga, Daf Tet, in page Tet, it says, Eno dome shone perko mea pa'amim, le shone perko mea ve'chad pa'amim. It's a weird section there. It say somebody who studied the same section 100 times is not like somebody who studied 100 than one time. One more? What's the big deal? Tell us, Rabbi Chaim Vital. If you take Mas, Mem is 40, Samech is 60, is 100. So it means you want to never to forget, study it 100 than one, meaning one more above that klipa. כי השר הזה נקרא שבו מס, שהוא גימט רעקוף, שונה פרקו 100 פעמים, יש בידו יכולת שחוב. If you study 100 times, that angel allowed to make you forget. But if you study it 101 times, not going to forget. Yesterday I start, I think for the first time, teaching in Hebrew, Talmud Esar Sfirot, Talmud Esar Manasseh. And it was, to be honest, was exciting, nervousness, fear, I'm showing you all my feeling. And humble and insecurity a little bit. And it's something that I teach for 31 years. I look at myself, so what happened to you, Eliyahu? What happened? Even my wife gave me a compliment and she told me it was good. It was like start everything from scratch. It's almost I have to do it 101 time again. And it was so much joy. So I teach Talmud examination and I study it non-stop, because I want this part to be part of my life. Whoever never study on my site, vital transformation, the 10 luminous emanation, it's a missed opportunity for you. You got to go for it. Got to go for it. And if you miss the beginning, my son just started the whole study from scratch, from beginning. You should follow that, Yehuda. So what do we do about forget this? Some of you don't have time to study the same section 101 time. Some of you cannot listen to my video 101 time. It's saying Masechet Oreyot. I studied with my friend Michael, who happened to be in town. I tried to move him to LA. So it's a something very interesting. Masechet Oreyot, the Talmud. Yesh gam dvarim shegormim shechacha. There is a certain thing that make you forget things. Do you want to know them? They do. Say yes. Okay. What is the number one thing that make you forget things? There is any Italian? If there is Italian or Israeli, they would be very upset. Olive. Olive actually going to make you forget what you study. Olive. Scary, right? Olive. And you know what? I'm going to read from Orayot. The five things that make people forget what they study. Akhbar. Mice. I mean, you're not going to eat mice, I hope, right? But you shouldn't touch it as well. Umama she'ochel chatul ve'ochel. And mice. And cat. Because cat touched the mice. Not because cat is bad. If the cat doesn't touch the mice, cat is no bad. But because the cat touched the mice, cat is bad as well. Va'ochel lef shel behema, heart of an animal. If you eat chicken heart, I know if you are from Louisiana, you love the chicken heart or the cow heart. I used to eat it when I was young. In my tradition, it was okay until I discovered that section. Va'ragil bezitim, somebody who eat olive. Va'shotem mayim shel shiurei rechatza. And a person who eat water that was washed with them. You know, wash his hand or something like that. Varochetz raglav zu al gabe zu. And somebody that in the shower scratch his 2 feet together just to wash his feet. You cannot make the feet scratch the other feet and this feet scratch the other feet. You have to clean it with your hand. If you try to clean your hand, your feet with the other feet, try if you don't do it. Try not to do it. And I know some people like to do it when they sleep, to do it a lot. It's not so good for the memory. V'yesh omrim af ha-miniach kelav tachat v'ashotav. Other people say, and the Rabbi Chaim Vital agree with it, if you put your clothes under your pillow, you cannot sleep with the clothes under your pillow when you go to sleep. So the Talmud asks, is there something to bring my memory back? Is there a trick? The Talmud said, yes. You will be shocked. Pat pechmin. When you bake a bread with coal. I don't know if you ever saw people who bake bread with coal. In Israel, they have. I don't know if they have it here. When they make the pita on the spot. On the spot, they make the pita on the spot and you eat it. It bring back your memory. It's unbelievable. Simple thing. If you know any place in LA, please text me later so I can go get this bread that they make in coal. And if the bread touch a little bit of the coal, it's even better. So it's like matzah. It's like, you know, things that was baked on the spot. And somebody who eat egg with no salt, bring the memory back. Daragil b'shemen zayit, to drink olive oil without nothing, bring the memory back. V'aragil b'yayin, glass of wine actually, u'besamim, and a good smell around you. Bring your memory back. What are you saying? Debbie said, kosher red wine. V'ashotem mayim shel shiurei isa, I'm not doing that. If you're eating a leftover of some of the water that was mixing in the dough, and some say a person who put his finger into salt and put the salt on his tongue, that brings the memory back. And Rabbi Yochanan said, the same as the olive make you forget 70 years of study, 70 years of study, כך שמן זית משיף לימוד של 70 שנה. The olive oil bring back everything you ever forgot. Guys, olive oil. Olive oil. My mom, take olive oil every day. And right now, she's on a wheelchair. She can talk. She don't. But God bless her soul. And please pray for her to stay healthy and be more healthy. And she would not miss the olive oil. So, we learn here that to study Torah and study spirituality, a lot of people get depressed when they are falling apart with the forgetfulness. And they not look at it like, what to do? What do I need to do? Because you gotta study. Because once you study and forget, that means you correct the nefesh. And later on, you're gonna get the ruach. There's another thing that Rabbi Chaim Vital said to be careful when you look at the, I think it's called in English, epitaph on the grave. Epitaph on the grave. If you look at it and it's bulging out, it's take away your memory. Also, it suck all your memory. Don't look too long at that. But if the letter carve in the stone, that's okay. Yeah. And he writes about his teacher. Rabbi Chaim Vital talk about his teacher. And he say, if a person is sharp with all the study, then he should be like Rabbi Isaac Luria. What does it mean? Ra'iti lemori zal. Rabbi Chaim Vital say, I saw my teacher. מתגבר כארי בכוח. He become like a lion when he study, בעת שהיה עוסק בהלכה. When he study the law, or when he study the pshat, when he study the simple aspect of the Torah, עד שהיה נלאה, until he was after going to the gym for 3 hours. Yeah, people go to the gym for 2 hours running, running and running and running and running and running. Can you imagine study like that? ומזיע זהה גדולה, Rabbi Isaac Luria used to sweat a lot, שאלתי את פי מדוע תורח. רבי חיים ויטל is teacher. Why are you so sweating like that? השיב לי, he told me that the whole idea of study is to break the negativity, break the קליפות, so my soul can be connected. Because the קליפות, the negativity, will not allow you to understand spirituality the way it's supposed to be. They will prevent you. So you have to fight. And if you just understand it easily, that means something is fake about it. As the Kotzke Rebbe said, I don't want a teacher that I can understand because he cannot be a teacher. I want a teacher that I fully don't understand, so every day I will study it again and again until I will understand it. Beautiful. ולכן צריך אדם לתוך להטיש כוחו אז. Person have to break his body for the sake of study. But if the person feel that he study and he still doesn't get it, let's say you try for 1 year to study, let's say you go on Vital and you study Tikkuni HaZohar with me, something that is difficult, and you try again and you try again and try again for 1 year and you can't, then go and study something but simple on my side. Because otherwise, say Rabbi Isaac Luria and Rabbi Chaim Vital writing it, he said, there is no point just to break yourself and break yourself. It's almost like breaking the shells and never eating the nuts. You cannot do that. Say Rabbi Isaac Luria. So if we summarize, what did we learn from Rabbi Chaim Vital? After we understand from the Rambam, Maimonides, that we must study to get to a level of love. The whole purpose of study the Torah, study spirituality, is one reason. One. Not two. One. Is to connect to the Creator. Because you have a soul and you have a body. when you study spirituality for the sake of people liking you, you end up with codependent relationship. Because they relate to your body. They cannot see your soul. It doesn't matter how spiritual they are. They see your body. So there is, we like each other, we're nice to each other. I give you some lesson, you give me some lesson. A lot of ego trip going on there. But when you study for the sake of connecting my soul to the Creator, that's a different level. A whole different level. Because what happened? You have a soul in heaven as well. Parallel to this soul here. Your soul here, when you study, can connect to that soul above and then bring all the light that you need. Beside that, your soul can connect to the Creator and get the information and knowledge that you need. How many times in your life you have no clarity what you need to do? How many times in your life you want to do the right thing and you get confused? Why? Because my soul is not connected. Simple, my soul is not connected. To the study, you get your soul reconnected. That's the purpose of the study. So what do you do when you forget? Happy, dance and study again until you take care of that angel called Mass. Because that Mass will make you forget. And you'll say, okay, I didn't do 100 one time. You do 1 year with the tough study I have on Vital. Not the easy one, the tough. Tikkun HaZohar, Talmud HaSefirot, study it. Don't give up. And after under time, all of a sudden you say, oh my God, you feel light, you feel something. I remember when I start Tikkun HaZohar one time, second time, years of nothing. Nothing I got from that. I'm reading and I'm reading and I'm reading and I'm reading. People thought I'm crazy. I'm talking about 10 years. 10 years, guys. 10 years I'm reading it. Until I have the privilege to do Shavuot, the holiday of Shavuot, in New York City. In a place called, I think it's Fifth Avenue Synagogue. Organized by wonderful people by the name of Megan and Michael. They organized the whole thing. It became a mess after that. Not because of them. Something happened there. My God, it was a mess. But they did everything they can to make it perfect. But the place was a place. The rabbi, wonderful man. The place, wonderful place. The people, amazing. But sometimes, when you're about to reveal this, such an amount of light, like Tikkun HaZohar, a chaos has to happen. I didn't know. It never happened to me in my life that it was so chaotic. So I remember we went upstairs, second floor or third floor to the library, and I'm sitting there, so depressed, feel like they took away from me the essence of Shavuot. All of a sudden, a lady, maybe she listened, right, by the name of Charlotte Meyer. May God bless her soul, and may God bless her children, may God bless everything she has, and her children and grandchildren, and everything she ever needs. May God bless her for that. She asked me a question. In a very humble, beautiful, beautiful way. So why don't you teach us Tikkun HaZohar? I said, because I'm not worthy. And those of you who know Charlotte, how high soul she is, didn't give up. Ask me again, and ask me again, and ask me again, and ask me again. And I said, I don't know what to do. It's like God talking to her, to me. I said, but I'm not feel worthy. I'm not clean enough. I'm not righteous enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not holy enough. I'm nervous. What if I do mistake? She said, well, we have to start. So I start, actually. Maybe she never heard it, but she pushed me. So that event in Fifth Avenue become the most important event for me personally and for the world because of Tikkun HaZohar now is in English. That event, that what looked like bad, was the best event ever happened in my life. Tikkun HaZohar, whoever studied Tikkun HaZohar, no. Everything that not open will open to you just by studying it. Anything you want will open in your life. Unbelievable force in Tikkun HaZohar. Those of you who don't have Tikkun HaZohar in your house, you should have. Those of you who don't have it in your car should have. Those of you who don't have it in your office should have. Those of you who don't share at least 10 Tikkuni Zohar, starting now, because this is the Tikkuni Zohar time. Before Rosh Hashanah, you got to share Tikkuni Zohar. You give it. Give it to people. Give it. Give it free. Give it. Give it. Order it from us, box, and start giving it to people. That's how we're changing the world. Going back to our subject, the whole idea of the study of spirituality, as I start for Tikkun HaZohar for me, and it started a very random, weird way, happened in a way that I had to deal with something that I'm afraid to deal with from the point of the study. But that's the pure study, my friend. That's the pure study. When you study not for the sake of impressing, not for the sake of intellectual, not for the sake of understanding, not for the sake that my life get better, not for the sake I want to connect to the Creator. If I'm not connected to the Creator, I will not be able to love the Creator in the way that I need to be. And I take you now to the Zohar Vayetchanan. And look what the Zohar Vayetchanan said. Verse 1. He talked about the king Chizkiyahu. Bore, come and behold, how powerful is the power of our Torah. How elevated is the Torah. Whoever studied the Torah has no reason to be feared from above or below. Is not fear any bad thing that might happen. Because he's holding the tree of life. And when you're holding the tree of life and you feed yourself with the tree of life every day, you're safe. But don't do it for the safety. Remember, that's for the wrong reason. You do it like Moses. You beg that the Torah will protect you. Not because you deserve, because you know the Torah can protect you. I want to leave you with an idea. From this weekend, we have 45 days till the day that God is looking into every file of every soul. And God decided how long we're going to live, how much money, how healthy. With miracles happening to us in our community, a lady came to see me. I cannot say names. I didn't ask her. I mean, if I ask her, maybe I should say the name. She came to see me. And she said, Leah, what can I do for you? I said, that's a very weird way to start a conversation. So what can I do for you? I said, can you start your book a little bit, few pages before? She said, yes. So you don't know, but it was a lot of people in your backyard on Rosh Hashanah. You blow the shofar and you pray. And I don't believe my shofar this year was as strong as 2 years ago. But I know that I beg for my life and my community's life to be better. Even we don't deserve it. And whoever have been here at miracle, money or some type of miracle, that's what she told me. And she said, I had miracle too. So can you share it, please? She said before last Rosh Hashanah, she went to the doctor and they didn't see the cancer that she had. She had cancer before, many years ago, and it came back, but they couldn't find it. It went... They missed it. That's her word. They missed it. And when they discovered it, it was too late. She had 8% chance to stay alive. I remember she came. She wore a hat. She stayed away from everybody. She tried to keep a smile on her face, even if she was in severe pain. Her lovely husband was like an angel, crying, begging the Creator for his wife to stay alive. We pray together as a group that know that we are not the best, but we still beg the Creator, please help us as a group. She made it. The doctor started laughing. They said, it never happened to him that somebody who has 8% chance to live from that type of cancer would be alive. And that's what she came to thank me. And then she looked at me and said, Eliyahu, after you, I'm driving to LAX. So where are you going? Say, first I thank you, to you, to God, and I'm going to Jerusalem to say thank you to God. She did it. And I'm so proud of her. And hopefully, maybe Debbie will ask her to come in front of the video and tell her story as a testimonial for you, for understanding, to inspire you, like what she went through. And what a simple prayer can do. So you have 45 days. Start study, guys. There's nothing that can save us more than study. Start study. Start unified. Hopefully, we can see you here for Rosh Hashanah in LA. I know that situation with the vaccine and Delta and all this. But I tell you what. I mean, we can host maybe 40 people here, maybe 50 tight. You know, I don't want to be 50. I want to say 40 will be okay. 50 will be too much. But if it will be more, why not? We can rent a nice place outside, maybe in Malibu, take the shofar, bring the Torah. We do all nice Rosh Hashanah, all of us together. We can do that. We can do that together. But it all depends on you guys. Let's gather as many people as possible to make a difference in our life and in their life. Thank you for listening to me tonight, because it was very important for me to pass you this message. I love you very much. And may this week will be a week that we're fighting back and reach our soul. And even if we forget, we continue to study. Amen.